Hi everyone, I'm delighted to be with you today to talk about Hong Kong regulation of virtual asset trading platform operators. So turning now to VASP regulation in Hong Kong. Well, Hong Kong has two licensing regimes for entities carrying on a business in operating a virtual asset trading platform in Hong Kong. The first is the existing licensing regime under Hong Kong's SFO, Securities and Futures Ordinance, which requires an entity conducting business in any of the regulated activities defined in Schedule 5 to the SFO to be licensed. The second licensing regime is new and came into effect on the 1st of June 2023 under new Part 5B of the Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorist Financing Ordinance, AMLO. The existing SFO licensing regime applies to virtual asset trading platforms that offer trading in virtual assets that are securities, as defined in Part 1 of Schedule 1 of the SFO. This was previously referred to as an opt-in regime. The description opt-in was adopted due to the fact that prior to the changes to the AMLO, the SFC's regulatory remit extended only to the regulation of securities and futures contracts, with the exception of security tokens, that's virtual assets that represent traditional securities, such as shares, debentures, and interests in investment funds. The regulatory classification of virtual assets, such as altcoins, ICO tokens, stablecoins, and NFTs, remains something of a grey area, with no Hong Kong case law or regulatory guidance on whether these very different virtual assets fall within the SFO's definition of securities. The SFO's opt-in licensing regime was originally conditional on the trading platform offering trading in at least one virtual asset that was a security. If that condition was met, the SFC would then regulate the platform's operations with respect to all the virtual assets traded on the platform, irrespective of whether they were securities or not. At the time, this was a fairly neat way for the SFC to extend its regulatory supervision to platforms trading virtual assets. The conditions for licensing were, however, onerous. In particular, licensed platforms could only offer trading to professional investors, as defined in Schedule 1 to the SFO and the Securities and Futures Professional Investor Rules. Only two trading platforms became licensed under the opt-in regime, OSL Digital Securities and Hashkey Brokerage Services Limited, while the majority of crypto exchanges operating in Hong Kong remained unlicensed. Today I'm going to talk about the requirements for platform operators to become licensed and the ongoing obligations of SFC licensed virtual asset trading platform operators under the new AMLO licensing regime and the existing SFO regime. So an entity carrying on a business of providing a virtual asset service in Hong Kong or holding itself out as doing so must be licensed by Hong Kong's SFC as a virtual asset service provider under Section 53ZRD of the AMLO. Carrying on a business of providing a virtual asset service or holding oneself out as doing so without a license is an offence, as is actively marketing any virtual asset service provided outside Hong Kong to the Hong Kong public without a VASP license. These offences carrying a maximum penalty of HK$5 million fine, 7 years imprisonment, and a daily fine of HK$100,000 for each day that the offence continues. The only activity currently defined as providing a VA service under the AMLO is operating a virtual asset exchange, although the Secretary for Financial Services and the Treasury can amend that definition by notice published in the Gazette. It could, for example, extend the licensing requirement to cover virtual asset custody services operated as standalone businesses, which are not currently required to be licensed. Providing a VA service is defined in Schedule 3B to the AMLO as providing services through means of electronic facilities, whereby offers to sell or purchase virtual assets are regularly made or accepted in a way that forms or results in a binding transaction, or persons are regularly introduced or identified to other persons in order that they may negotiate or conclude, or with a reasonable expectation that they will negotiate or conclude, sales or purchases of virtual assets in a way that forms or results in a binding transaction. The SFC has said that the AMLO's VASP licensing regime applies only to centralized platforms that provide virtual asset trading services to clients using an automated trading engine which matches client orders and also provide custody service as an ancillary service to their trading services. The provision of virtual asset services without an automated trading engine and ancillary custody services, for instance, over-the-counter virtual asset trading activities and virtual asset brokerage activities, does not require a license. Virtual assets are defined as a cryptographically secured digital representation of value that is expressed as a unit of account or a store of economic value, either is used or intended to be used as a medium of exchange accepted by the public for payment for goods or services, for the discharge of a debt and or for an investment, or provides rights, eligibility or access to vote on the management, administration or governance of the affairs in connection with or to vote on any change of the terms of any arrangement applicable to any cryptographically secured digital representation of value and can be transferred, stored or traded electronically. Virtual assets that include Bitcoin, altcoins, governance tokens and stable coins are all included, although, as I'll mention later, the SFC said in its consultation conclusions that stable coins should not be admitted for trading by retail investors until they're regulated in Hong Kong. The definition of virtual asset excludes certain definitions, and that's digital representations of fiat currencies, central bank digital currencies, financial assets already regulated under the SFO, such as securities and futures contracts, stored value facilities, which are separately regulated under the Payment Systems and Stored Value Facilities Ordinance, and limited purpose digital tokens, which include non-transferable, non-exchangeable, and non-fungible closed-loop limited purpose items, such as air miles, credit card rewards, gift cards, customer loyalty programs, and gaming coins. An entity carrying on a business of dealing in virtual assets that are securities, as defined in the SFO in Hong Kong, and providing automated trading services in those virtual assets, or holding itself out as doing so, needs to be licensed by the SFC for regulated activities type 1, dealing in securities, and type 7, providing automated trading services. As is the case for the AMLO licensing regime, the SFC has indicated that licensing is required only for centralized virtual asset trading platforms, that is, trading platforms that provide trading, clearing, and settlement services for virtual assets and have control of client assets. The SFC does not license platforms which provide peer-to-peer trading in virtual assets between clients, where the trade takes place off exchange and clients retain custody of their virtual assets. While the key regulatory requirements are set out in the ordinances, the detailed licensing requirements and ongoing obligations applicable to virtual asset trading platforms under either the AMLO and or the SFO licensing regimes are set out in the SFC's guidelines for virtual asset trading platform operators. The specific anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist obligations that apply to VATPs are included in new Chapter 12 of the SFC's guideline on anti-money laundering and counter-financing of terrorism for licensed corporations and SFC-licensed virtual asset service providers. Other requirements are set out in the SFC's FAQs on licensing matters and FAQs on conduct-related matters. Given the possibility of virtual assets regulatory classification changing from non-security tokens to security tokens and vice versa, the SFC is encouraging virtual asset trading platforms and their staff conducting regulated activities to become licensed under both ordinances. Dual licensing applicants can submit a single consolidated application online, indicating that they're applying for both licenses. Hong Kong incorporated companies that have a permanent place of business in Hong Kong and overseas companies that are registered in Hong Kong under the Hong Kong Companies Ordinance are eligible for licensing under the AMLO and SFO licensing regimes. Businesses without a separate legal personality, such as partnerships and sole traders, individuals and overseas companies that are not registered in Hong Kong, are not eligible for VASP licensing in Hong Kong. The entity applying to be licensed needs to be fit and proper, which means that it must not be subject to any receivership, administration, liquidation, or other similar proceedings, not have failed to meet any judgment debt, or be unable to meet any financial or capital requirements applicable to it. Under the Virtual Asset Trading Platform guidelines, licensed platform operators need to maintain paid-up share capital of at least 5 million Hong Kong dollars and liquid capital of the higher of 3 million Hong Kong dollars and the basic amount as defined in Division 4 of Part 4 of the FRR. They also need to beneficially own assets that are sufficiently liquid, for example, cash deposits, treasury bills, and certificates of deposit, but not virtual assets, equivalent to at least 12 months of their actual operating expenses calculated on a rolling basis. In calculating their liquid capital, license applicants should take account of all their assets, liabilities, and transactions in accordance with Part 4 of the Financial Resources Rules, FRR, and follow the computation methods set out. In determining a corporation's competency, the SFC considers various key elements, including its business model, corporate governance, internal controls, operational review, risk management, and compliance, and the combined competence of its senior management and other staff members. A licensing applicant needs to have a clear business model, detailing its modus operandi and target clientele, and written policies and procedures to ensure continuous compliance with the relevant legal and regulatory requirements. The applicant has to demonstrate to the SFC that it has a proper business structure, good internal control systems, and qualified personnel to ensure that proper management of risks that it will encounter in carrying on its proposed business as detailed in its business plan. Detailed information should be included in the business plan and compliance manual and other internal policies and procedures for submission. Platform operators need to appoint a minimum of 2 responsible officers, ROs, to supervise the conduct of each SFO-regulated activity and the business of the virtual asset service for which they're licensed. At least one of the responsible officers must be an executive director of the company, and if the company has more than one executive director, they must all be appointed as responsible officers. At least one responsible officer must be ordinarily resident in Hong Kong, and at least one responsible officer must be available at all times to supervise each SFO-regulated activity and the business of the virtual asset service. Where a platform is dual-licensed under the AMLO and SFO, it only needs 2 dual-licensed responsible officers to meet the minimum statutory requirement for 2 ROs under each ordinance. The SFC will only license overseas residents if they will come to Hong Kong to conduct regulated activities on behalf of platform operator to which they are accredited. It will not license individuals who only conduct business activities outside Hong Kong. The SFC will impose a non-sole condition on the license of responsible officers based offshore who occasionally visit Hong Kong to conduct regulated activities. A non-sole condition means that a responsible officer who actively participates in or directly supervises the business for which the company is licensed must do so under the advice of another responsible officer who is not subject to a non-sole condition. However, itinerant professionals who only spend short periods of time in Hong Kong can't be responsible officers due to responsible officers' obligations to supervise the business of the relevant regulated activity in Hong Kong. Responsible officers must participate in supervising the platform's regulated activities. Licensed corporations should not engage individuals who act as responsible officers in name only and have no real supervisory role. In assessing an individual's fitness and properness to be a responsible officer, the SFC will consider their financial status and solvency, their educational or other qualifications and experience, their ability to carry on regulated activities competently, honestly and fairly, and their reputation, character, reliability, and financial integrity. The SFC will also take into account any conviction of the person for an offence under the AMLO, the United Nations Anti-Terrorism Measures Ordinance, the Drug Trafficking Recovery Proceeds Ordinance, or the Organized and Serious Crimes Ordinance, and any conviction in a place outside Hong Kong for an offence in respect of an act which would have constituted an offence under one of the ordinances I've just mentioned had it been done in Hong Kong, for a money laundering or terrorist financing related offence, or for an offence involving fraudulent, corrupt or dishonest conduct and breach of any requirement of the AMLO. The educational qualifications and experience required of responsible officers are set out in the SFC's guidelines on competence. There are three routes to satisfying these requirements, which you can see on this and the next slide. For example, if a person has a relevant university degree or professional qualification, they must also have at least 3 years direct relevant industry experience acquired in the previous 6 years, 2 years management experience, and have passed the Hong Kong Securities Institute Papers 1 and 2. Individuals without a university degree or professional qualifications, on the other hand, need at least 5 years of direct relevant industry experience acquired over the previous 8 years, 2 years management experience, and to have passed the HKSI Papers 7 and 8 in addition to Papers 1 and 2. One of the platform operator's responsible officers must have a minimum of 3 years direct industry experience in operating a virtual asset trading platform or providing automated trading services, as defined in Schedule 5 to the SFO. The person also needs to have sufficient technical knowledge and skills in relation to a virtual asset trading platform operations and controls. The SFC may recognize a responsible officer applicant's previous direct experience in technology as relevant industry experience if the person has been a key person in the development or ensuring the proper and continued functioning of a technology platform or system, and the technology platform or system in which the applicant has expertise is central to the virtual asset trading platform operated by the person's principal. Where a responsible officer applicant industry experience largely relates to non-security tokens and the person has no experience of dealing in securities or vice versa, the SFC will consider industry experience dealing in non-security tokens as industry experience relevant to Type 1 dealing in securities regulated activity under the SFO, although a licensing condition will be imposed on the person's Type 1 license that they can only provide Type 1 regulated activity services for the business of an SFC licensed platform operator. Similarly, the SFC will recognize industry experience of regulated activity type 1 dealing in securities as industry experience relevant to the provision of virtual asset services under the AMLO. However, the person's license for providing a virtual asset service under the AMLO will be subject to a non-sole condition. This provision is a temporary measure adopted because of the potential lack of talent of people with both virtual asset and securities related trading experience at this early stage. The SFC will review its continued application going forwards. Individuals who will provide regulated services on behalf of a VASP, including its responsible officers, need to be licensed by the SFC as licensed representatives accredited to the VASP. In practice, licensed representative and RO applications can be submitted simultaneously. Licensed representatives can only act for the platform operator to which they are accredited for conducting regulated activities. If a licensed representative ceases to act for their principal, the principal must notify the SFC through WINGS, the SFC's online submission platform, within 7 business days. The licensed rep can then apply for a transfer of accreditation to another platform operator within 180 days. If a licensed rep has previously received a regulatory warning, this must be disclosed in the application form. Similarly, there are 3 routes for individuals to meet the SFC's educational qualification and experience requirements for platform operators, licensed representatives. The details of these are set out on this and the next slide. Individuals with a relevant university degree or professional qualification must have 2 years of direct relevant industry experience acquired in the previous 5 years and must have passed HKSI Paper 1. Those without a university degree or professional qualification need 2 years of direct relevant industry experience acquired over the previous 5 years and must have passed HKSI Papers 7 and 8 as well as Paper 1 and must have completed 5 hours of relevant continuous professional training. The substantial shareholders and ultimate owners of a virtual asset trading platform operator are required to be fit and proper and must be approved in writing by the SFC. A substantial shareholder is a person having an interest of 10% or more in the platform operator's issued shares. A person with an interest in the platform operator's shares that entitles them alone or with their associates to directly or indirectly control the exercise of 10% or more of the voting power at its general meetings, or a person holding shares in another company which entitles them alone or with their associates to control the exercise of 35% or more of the voting power at general meetings of that company, or of a further company which can exercise alone or with associates 10% of the voting power at general meetings of the platform operator. An ultimate owner is an individual who directly or indirectly owns or controls more than 25% of the trading platform operator's issued shares, or controls more than 25% of the voting rights at the platform operator's general meetings, or controls its management. In determining whether a person is fit and proper, the SFC will consider the person's financial status or solvency, their educational and other qualifications and experience, evidence of their competence, honesty and financial integrity, their convictions in Hong Kong or elsewhere for any money laundering or terrorist financing offence or other offence involving fraudulent, corrupt or dishonest conduct, and failure to comply with the AML-CTF obligations or other obligations of licensed VASPs. Any person who proposes to become an ultimate owner of a licensed VASP must be approved in writing by the SFC. The SFC will need to be satisfied that the VASP will continue to be fit and proper if the ultimate owner is approved. In granting its approval, the SFC may impose conditions on the licensed VASP or the ultimate owner. A person who becomes the ultimate owner of a VASP without the SFC's approval, without reasonable excuse, will commit an offence for which the maximum penalty is a $1 million Hong Kong dollar fine, 2 years imprisonment, and a further fine of $5,000 Hong Kong for every day that the offence continues. The managers in charge of core functions regime applies to licensed virtual asset trading platform operators, and details of these are set out in the SFC's FAQs on measures for augmenting senior management accountability in platform operators, which are based on the managers in charge regime applicable to other SFC licensed entities. Licensed virtual asset trading platform operators need to appoint one or more managers in charge as individuals principally responsible, alone or with others, for managing each of the platform operator's core functions, and these are overall management oversight, the key business line, operational control and review, risk management, finance and accounting, information technology, compliance and anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing. The managers in charge of the overall management oversight and key business line functions are generally required to be responsible officers of the activities they oversee. They can be located offshore, provided they're accountable to the platform operator. The board of a licensed platform operator needs to ensure that each manager in charge acknowledges their appointment as a manager in charge and the particular core functions for which they're primarily responsible. Any change in management managers in charge must be notified to the SFC within 7 business days of the change. Virtual asset trading platform operators need to appoint a complaints officer to deal with the complaints made to the platform operator and an emergency contact person to be contacted by the SFC in case of a market emergency or other urgent matter. These individuals do not need to be licensed. The premises, which must be non-domestic, used for keeping records and documents required to be kept under the AMLO and SFO, will also need to be approved by the SFC. Corporations that are not already licensed can apply for licensing by submitting Form 1, the corporation's application, Form 5, new license application for licensed reps and ROs for at least 2 responsible ROs, Questionnaire 1, General Business Profile and Internal Control Summary. Questionnaire 2, Virtual Asset Trading Platform Operator, an External Assessment Report and the Application Fee. The application forms, supplements and questionnaires should be submitted to the SFC through WINGS, the SFC's online submission platform. Virtual Asset Trading Platform license applicants are also required to engage an external assessor to assess their business and submit 2 assessor's reports to the SFC. Different external assessors can be appointed to review different areas of an applicant's business. The external assessor's Phase 1 report needs to be submitted with the trading platform's license application. The required areas of assessment cover the design, effectiveness of the trading platform's proposed structure, governance, operations, systems and controls, with a focus on key areas such as governance and staffing, token admission, custody of virtual assets, KYC, AML, CTF, market surveillance, risk management and cybersecurity. The external assessor's phase 2 report must be submitted after the SFC grants approval in principle of the applicant's license. This needs to assess the effectiveness and implementation of the adopted policies, procedures, systems and controls. Any deviation from the planned policies and procedures must be clearly set out and explained. The areas covered by the second assessment include verifying and confirming that all external service providers, such as the market surveillance tools, AML, CTF tools and KYC tools, have been engaged and that the systems they provide are in operation. The second assessment report also needs to cover the conduct of a vulnerability assessment to identify, rank and report potential vulnerabilities that may compromise a system and the performance of penetration tests on network devices, firewalls, servers, databases, wallets and web applications to identify vulnerabilities or potential issues. The SFC will only grant its final licensing approval when it's satisfied with the findings of the Phase 2 report. Virtual asset trading platform operators need to submit their bank account details to the SFC before their licensing application is approved. The HKMA issued a circular to Hong Kong banks in April 2023 urging them to provide banking services to SFC-licensed virtual asset trading platforms to support their legitimate need for bank accounts in a move aimed at countering banks' reluctance to open bank accounts for crypto-related businesses. On becoming licensed, trading platform operators will enter the SFC's regulatory sandbox so that the SFC can assess and monitor their delivery of systems and internal control systems. The licenses of virtual asset trading platform operators will be granted subject to various conditions, including requirements that the platform operator must comply with the virtual asset trading platform guidelines and must immediately notify the SFC and cease operating a virtual asset trading platform if it becomes aware that it can't maintain or ascertain whether it maintains the required liquid and paid-up share capital. Platform operators have to provide the SFC with monthly reports on their business activities within 2 weeks of the end of each calendar month and any other information requested by the SFC. They must also engage an independent professional firm acceptable to the SFC to conduct an annual review of their activities and operations and prepare a report confirming that they have complied with the licensing conditions and all relevant legal and regulatory requirements. The first report must be submitted within 18 months of the approval of the platform operator's license. Subsequent reports must be submitted within 4 months of each financial year end and upon request by the SFC. The SFC's prior written approval is required for introducing or offering a new or incidental service or activity or making a material change to an existing service or activity, including long suspension or termination of an existing service or activity. Further licenses will be granted subject to a condition that restricts the platform operator to operating a centralized online platform for trading virtual assets, carrying on off-platform virtual asset trading business and incidental services to its clients and activities relating to its off-platform business. SFC licensed trading platform operators must set up a token admission and review committee made up of senior management members who are principally responsible for managing their key business line, compliance, risk management and information technology functions. The SFC expects members principally responsible for the various functions to include the corresponding managers in charge of the platform operator. The Token Admission and Review Committee is responsible for establishing, implementing and enforcing the criteria for admitting, suspending and withdrawing virtual assets to or from trading and the rules setting out the obligations and restrictions on virtual asset issuers. For example, their obligation to notify the licensed platform operator of any proposed hard fork or airdrop, any material change in the issuer's business or any regulatory action taken against the issuer. It is the Token Admission and Review Committee which must make the final decision as to whether to admit, suspend or withdraw a virtual asset to or from trading based on the adopted criteria. It's also required to regularly review the criteria for admitting, suspending, and withdrawing virtual assets and the rules governing the obligations of virtual asset issuers, and to report to the platform operator's board of directors at least monthly. The committee's reports must, at a minimum, include details of the virtual assets made available to retail clients for trading. Platform operators also need to monitor each of the virtual assets admitted for trading on an ongoing basis and consider whether to continue to allow them for trading. If the Token Admission and Review Committee decides to suspend or withdraw a virtual asset from trading, the platform operator must notify clients as soon as practicable, inform clients holding the virtual asset of the options available, and ensure that clients are fairly treated. Trading platforms' senior management are responsible for ensuring appropriate standards of conduct and adherence to proper procedures on the part of their licensed staff. A platform operator's senior management comprises its directors, responsible officers, and managers in charge of core functions. The SFC requires licensed virtual asset trading platform operators to perform reasonable due diligence on all virtual assets, irrespective of whether they'll be made available to retail clients, before admitting them for trading, to ensure that they meet the token admission criteria established by the platform's token admission and review committees. The fact is that platform operators have to consider at a minimum include the background of the virtual assets management or development team or any of its known key members, the virtual assets regulatory status in Hong Kong, and whether its regulatory status would affect the platform operator's regulatory obligations, the virtual assets supply, demand, maturity and liquidity, including its track record period, which for non-security tokens must be at least 12 months. The virtual assets development, technical aspects, market and governance risks, and the legal risks associated with the virtual asset and its issuer. Other factors to be assessed are whether the virtual assets offered utility, novel use case, innovation or administrative control clearly appears to be fraudulent or illegal, or whether its continued viability depends on attracting continuous inflow into the virtual asset. The enforceability of rights extrinsic to the virtual asset, for example, rights to any underlying assets, the potential impact of trading activity in the virtual asset on the underlying markets, and the money laundering and terrorist financing risks associated with the virtual asset. SFC licensed virtual asset trading platform operators intending to make virtual assets available to retail investors must additionally ensure that the relevant virtual assets satisfy the specific token admission criteria set out in paragraphs 7.7 and 7.8 of the virtual asset trading platform guidelines, called retail investors for these purposes, are investors other than professional investors as defined in section 1 of part 1 of schedule 1 to the SFO, and the Securities and Futures Professional Investor Rules. The key requirement for virtual assets to be eligible for trading by retail investors is that the virtual asset must be highly liquid. For a virtual asset to be considered highly liquid, it must at a minimum be an eligible large cap virtual asset. That is, a virtual asset that is included in a minimum of 2 acceptable indices issued by at least 2 independent index providers. An acceptable index is an index with a clearly defined objective of measuring the performance of the largest virtual assets in the global market. For example, an index which measures the top 10 largest virtual assets. The index must also be investable, meaning that the constituent virtual asset should be sufficiently liquid, objectively calculated, and rules-based. In addition, the index provider must have the necessary expertise and technical resources to construct, maintain, and review the methodology and rules of the index, which should be well documented, consistent, and transparent. The two index providers must be independent of each other. The virtual asset trading platform operator and the issuer of the virtual asset, if relevant. At least one of the index providers must comply with the IOSCO principles for financial benchmarks and have experience of publishing indices for the conventional securities market. Noting that large market cap doesn't necessarily correlate with high liquidity, the SFC has said that inclusion in 2 acceptable indices is the minimum criteria rather than the sole criteria for virtual asset eligibility for retail trading. Trading platform operators are therefore expected to conduct additional due diligence to ensure that eligible large cap virtual assets admitted for retail trading are in fact highly liquid. Trading platform operators must also ensure that a virtual asset to be admitted for retail trading is not a security as defined in Part 1 of Schedule 1 to the SFO, unless the offering of the virtual asset to retail investors complies with the Hong Kong regulatory requirements for public offers of shares and debentures under the company's winding up and miscellaneous provisions ordinance, and or does not breach the restrictions on offers of investment under Part 4 of the SFO. The SFC's prior written approval is required for the admission of any virtual asset for trading by retail clients and the suspension of trading or removal of such virtual assets. If a licensed platform operator wants to make available for retail trading a virtual asset that fulfills the general token admission criteria but not the specific token admission criteria, it can make a submission to the SFC, which will be considered on a case-by-case basis. Responding to requests for the SFC to produce lists of acceptable indices of index providers with experience in publishing indices for the conventional securities market and of eligible large cap virtual assets, the SFC commented in its consultation conclusions that this would not be appropriate as the admissibility and continued eligibility of a token depends on the due diligence conducted by a platform operator. The SFC said in its consultation conclusions that stablecoins should not be admitted for retail trading until they're regulated in Hong Kong. The HKMA proposed a new regulatory regime for various activities relating to stablecoins in its January 2023 conclusion of its discussion paper on crypto assets and stablecoins, which is expected to come into effect sometime in 2024. SFC licensed virtual asset trading platform operators are allowed to provide services to retail investors provided that they comply with a number of investor protection measures covering client onboarding, platform governance, disclosure and token due diligence and admission. Under the virtual asset trading platform guidelines, platform operators have to implement a number of measures when serving investors other than institutional professional investors, as defined in paragraphs A to I of the definition of professional investors and qualified corporate professional investors. Qualified corporate professional investors are defined in Schedule 1 to the Virtual Asset Trading Platform Guidelines as corporate professional investors, that's trust corporations, corporations or partnerships meeting the thresholds under Sections 4, 5 or 7 of the Securities and Futures Professional Investor Rules, which the licensed platform operator has assessed to meet three criteria. The first criteria is that the corporate professional investor has the appropriate corporate structure and investment process and controls. That's how investment decisions are made, including when the corporation has a specialized treasury or other function responsible for making investment decisions. The second criteria to be met is that the person responsible for making investment decisions on behalf of the corporate professional investor must have a sufficient investment background, which includes the investment experience of these individuals. The third and final criteria is that the corporate professional investor must be aware of the risks involved, and this will be considered in terms of the person responsible for making investment decisions. The platform operator's assessment of whether a corporate professional investor is a qualified corporate professional investor must be in writing, and the platform operator must keep records of all relevant information and documents obtained in the assessment so as to demonstrate the basis of the assessment. Platform operators need to undertake a new assessment once a corporate professional investor has ceased to trade in virtual assets for more than 2 years. It's important to note that platform operators must observe the same requirements with respect to individual professional investors, as defined in Section 5 of the Securities and Futures Professional Rules, as they do for retail investors. Hong Kong licensed virtual asset trading platform operators are not allowed to offer, trade or deal in virtual assets, futures contracts or related derivatives. Platform operators and their group companies are also prohibited from providing any financial accommodation for clients to acquire virtual assets. Significantly, licensed virtual asset trading platforms can't enter into arrangements with their clients to use clients' virtual assets to generate returns, preventing them from providing services such as earning, deposit taking, lending, and borrowing. Platform operators are also prohibited from posting adverts for specific virtual assets and cannot provide algorithmic trading services to clients. Platform operators can't engage in proprietary trading for their own account or any account in which they have an interest, except for off-platform back-to-back transactions where no market risk is taken by the platform operator. They also can't engage in market-making activities on a proprietary basis, and platform operators' group companies are prohibited from conducting proprietary trading in virtual assets through the platform operator on or off-platform. The opening of multiple accounts for a single client is forbidden, unless the accounts are sub-accounts and no gifts can be offered to clients other than a discount to fees or charges for trading a specific virtual asset. SFC's written approval is required for including any virtual asset for trading by retail clients and suspending trading of or removing any virtual asset available to retail clients. Before opening an account for investors other than institutional professional investors and qualified corporate professional investors, trading platform operators need to assess their knowledge of virtual assets and of the risks of investing in them. Trading platform operators can only open an account for or provide services to an investor who lacks knowledge of virtual assets if they've provided adequate training to the investor. The VATP guidelines give certain non-exhaustive criteria for assessing whether an investor has knowledge of virtual assets, whether the investor has undergone training or attended courses on virtual assets, has current or previous work experience related to virtual assets, or has prior trading experience in virtual assets. As part of the KYC procedures, Hong Kong virtual asset trading platform operators offering services to retail investors are required to ensure the suitability of their services for the particular client. Specifically, virtual asset trading platform operators are required to obtain from their retail clients information regarding their financial situation and investment experience and objectives, and assess the client's risk tolerance level, determine the client's risk profile, and assess whether they are suitable to participate in virtual asset trading. Virtual asset trading platform operators are also required to set a limit on each retail client's exposure to virtual assets to ensure that each retail client's exposure to virtual assets is reasonable given the client's financial situation, including its net worth and personal circumstances. Platform operators are required to notify retail clients of the limit assigned to them and to regularly review clients' exposure limits to ensure that they remain appropriate. When making a recommendation or solicitation with respect to virtual assets, platform operators are required, except when dealing with institutional and qualified corporate professional investors, to ensure that the suitability of the recommendation or solicitation for the client is reasonable in all the circumstances, having regard to information about the client of which the platform operator is or should be aware through the conduct of due diligence. Platform operators need to establish a proper mechanism for assessing the suitability of virtual assets for clients. The suitability assessment needs to be made on a holistic basis, taking into account clients' personal circumstances and concentration risk, and the risk-return profile of the recommended virtual asset should match clients' personal circumstances. Except when dealing with institutional or qualified professional investors, trading platform operators must ensure that any transaction in a virtual asset that is a complex product is suitable for the relevant client, even if the transaction has not been recommended or solicited by the platform operator. Platform operators also need to provide prominent and clear warnings about complex products before and reasonably proximate to the point of sale for or advice regarding complex products. Except when dealing with institutional and qualified corporate professional investors, virtual asset trading platform operators must take all reasonable steps to prominently disclose the nature of virtual assets and the risks that clients may be exposed to in trading virtual assets on the trading platform. Disclosure must include the risk disclosure statement specified in Schedule 2 to the Virtual Asset Trading Platform Guidelines. virtual asset trading platform operators are also required to disclose a significant amount of information on their websites relating to their business and the rights of their clients. Licensed platform operators need to post information about each virtual asset traded on their platforms. That information includes the virtual asset's price and trading volume on the platform, for example, in the last 24 hours and since its admission for trading on the platform, background information about the virtual asset's management or development team or any of its known key members, the virtual asset's issue date and its material terms and features, the platform operator's affiliation with the issuer and its management or development team or any of its known key members, a link to the virtual asset's official website and white paper, if any, a link to the smart contract audit report and other bug reports of the virtual asset, if any, and where the virtual asset has voting rights, how those voting rights will be handled by the platform operator. Platform operators need to take all reasonable steps to ensure that product-specific and other information posted on their platforms is not false, misleading, or deceptive. They're also required to disclose their financial condition on request to clients by providing their latest audited balance sheet and profit and loss account filed with the SFC and any material changes adversely affecting their financial condition since the date of the accounts. A licensed virtual asset trading platform operator can only hold client assets, that's client virtual assets and client money, through an associated entity that is a Hong Kong incorporated subsidiary of the virtual asset trading platform operator, which is a licensed trust or service company provider under the AMLO that has notified the SFC that it has an associated entity of the licensed virtual asset trading platform operator under section 53ZRW of the AMLO and or section 165 of the SFO. Client virtual assets must be held in wallet addresses established by the platform operator's associated entity and must be in segregated form from the assets of the platform operator and its associated entity. At least 98% of client virtual assets must be held in cold storage, except in limited circumstances allowed by the SFC on a case-by-case basis to minimize losses resulting from the platform being hacked or compromised. Licensed trading platform operators must have robust internal controls and governance procedures to ensure that cryptographic seeds and private keys are securely generated, stored, and backed up. They must also ensure that their associated entities implement the same controls and procedures which must, among other things, restrict access to seeds and private keys for client virtual assets to authorized personnel who have been appropriately screened and trained, and provide for seeds and private keys to be securely stored in Hong Kong. Licensed virtual asset trading platform operators must establish a compensation arrangement that's approved by the SFC to cover potential losses arising from hacking incidents on the platform or default on the part of the licensed platform operator or its associated entity of 50% of client virtual assets held in cold storage and 100% of client virtual assets held in hot and other storage means. The compensation arrangement can include any or a combination of third-party insurance funds held in the form of a demand deposit or time deposit maturing within 6 months of the platform operator or any of its group companies, which are set aside on trust and designated for that purpose, and a bank guarantee provided by a Hong Kong authorized financial institution, that means a bank. Platform operators need to monitor the total value of client virtual assets under their custody daily. If a licensed platform operator becomes aware that the total value of client virtual assets under custody exceeds the amount covered under the approved compensation arrangement and it expects this to continue, it must inform the SFC and take prompt remedial action to re-comply with the virtual asset trading platform guidelines. Platform operators need to use verifiable and quantifiable criteria when selecting an insurance company. These include a valuation schedule of assets insured, maximum coverage per incident, and overall maximum coverage, as well as any excluding factors. VASPs are subject to the AML and CTF requirements of the MLO, including the customer due diligence and record-keeping requirements set out in Schedule 2 of the AMLO. In the case of non-compliance with the statutory AML and CTF obligations, both the VASP and its responsible officers commit an offence with a maximum penalty of $1 million Hong Kong dollars, fine and 2 years imprisonment, or 7 years imprisonment if the non-compliance was committed with intent to defraud. Virtual asset trading platform operators must also comply with virtual asset-specific AML-CTF requirements set out in new Chapter 12 of the renamed Guideline on Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Financing of Terrorism for licensed corporations and SFC-licensed virtual asset service providers, in addition to the guideline's general AML-CTF requirements applicable to SFC-licensed entities. The revised and renamed Prevention of Money Laundering and Terrorist Financing Guideline issued by the SFC for associated entities of licensed corporations and SFC virtual asset service providers additionally requires associated entities of SFC licensed virtual asset trading platform operators to comply with a guideline on anti-money laundering and counter-financing of terrorism for licensed corps and SFC licensed virtual asset service providers. Financial institutions which are defined in the AMLO to include virtual asset trading platform operators licensed under the AMLO and or the SFO must comply with Section 13A of Schedule 2 to the AMLO, which applies the requirements for wire transfers under the FATF Recommendation 16, which is known as the Travel Rule, to transfers of virtual assets. Chapter 12 of the Guideline on Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Financing of Terrorism sets out detailed guidance on the statutory obligation of the so-called Travel Rule and the requirements relating to identifying suspicious transactions and conducting sanctioned screening on all relevant parties involved in a virtual asset transfer. The Travel Rule requirements for virtual asset transfers took effect on the 1st of June 2023. However, the obligation on ordering institutions to submit the required information to the beneficiary institution immediately, meaning before or when the virtual asset transfer is actually done, has been delayed until the 1st of January 2024. In the meantime, the SFC will allow ordering institutions to submit the required information to the beneficiary institution as soon as practicable after the virtual asset transfer, although they must comply with all other travel rule requirements from the 1st of June 2023, including the requirement to submit the required information securely. Licensed VASPs and their associated entities, that's Hong Kong incorporated wholly owned subsidiaries that receive or hold client assets, are required to appoint an auditor within 1 month of the grant of the VASP license and file audited financial statements with the SFC within 4 months of their financial year end. Licensed corporations must also submit monthly financial resources returns to the SFC. The submission of notifications, regulatory filings, and annual returns should all be made through the WINGS website. The SFC's prior approval is required for a number of changes to VASP licensing licenses, including those included in the table on the next two slides. These include, among other things, changes to the virtual asset license holder's financial year, the cessation of business, and changes to the platform operator's substantial shareholders and or ultimate owner. Application for approval is generally made on Form VA2, except for approval of changes to the licensed entity's substantial shareholders and ultimate owners for which Form VA4 should be used. The SFC must also be given notice of certain events which are set out in the next four slides. These include changes to key personnel, including licensed representatives, responsible officers, significant changes to the business plan and managers in charge of core functions directors, and changes to the virtual asset trading platform operators' particulars and bank accounts. Some notifiable events also apply to the virtual asset trading platform's associated entity. SFC licensed virtual asset platform operators are responsible for planning and implementing a continuous education program appropriate to the training needs of their licensed employees. Training programs can be designed with reference to the licensed corporation's size, structure, scope of business activities, and risk management system. Training programs also have to be assessed annually to determine whether they need to be changed. Responsible officers need to complete 12 CPT hours per calendar year, of which 2 CPT hours must cover regulatory compliance topics, while licensed representatives have to complete 10 CPT hours per calendar year. The AMLO creates various offences in relation to activities in virtual assets that are non-security tokens. These include fraudulently or recklessly inducing others to invest in virtual assets. It's also an offence under the AMLO to employ fraudulent or deceptive devices, schemes or artifices in transactions involving virtual assets. An unlicensed person who issues an advert holding itself out as prepared to provide a virtual asset service will also commit an offence. Comparable offences exist under the SFO in relation to the same conduct in virtual assets that are securities within the statutory definition. These include fraudulently or recklessly inducing others to deal in securities and employing fraudulent or deceptive devices, schemes or artifices in transactions involving securities. It's also an offence under the SFO to issue advertisements to the Hong Kong public to acquire, dispose of or subscribe for or underwrite securities without the SFC's authorisation unless an exemption applies. The SFC also has broad powers under the SFO and AMLO to enter the business premises of licensed VASPs and their associated entities, to conduct routine inspections and request production of documents and records. It also has powers to investigate breaches of the statutory requirements and to sanction licensed persons involved. It can also appoint an auditor to conduct an investigation into the affairs of a licensed VASP and its associated entities if it believes there's been a breach of the AMLO or its related codes and guidelines. It also has intervention powers to impose restrictions and prohibitions on the operations of a licensed VASP and its associated entities in certain circumstances, for example, where it's necessary to protect client assets. The AMLO licensing regime for virtual asset trading platform operators trading non-security tokens commenced also on the 1st of June 2023. The AMLO's transitional arrangements allow virtual asset trading platforms trading non-security tokens which operated and had a meaningful and substantial presence in Hong Kong before the 1st of June 2023 to continue to operate in Hong Kong without a license until the 31st of May 2024. When considering whether a virtual asset trading platform has a meaningful and substantial presence in Hong Kong, the SFC will consider whether it's incorporated in Hong Kong, whether it has a physical office in Hong Kong, whether its central management and control and key personnel are based in Hong Kong, and whether the trading platform is live with a considerable number of clients and volume of trading activities in Hong Kong. Operators of pre-existing trading platforms which apply online for a license under the AMLO between the 1st of June 2023 and the 29th of February 2024 will also be deemed to be licensed from the 1st of June 2024 until the earlier of the approval, withdrawal or refusal of their license application. When submitting a licensing application, pre-existing virtual asset trading platform operators need to confirm and demonstrate that they operated a virtual asset trading platform in Hong Kong immediately before the 1st of June 2023, and that on being deemed to be licensed, it will comply with and have arrangements in place to ensure compliance with the regulatory requirements applicable to licensed platform operators. If the SFC finds that a licensed applicant does not meet the necessary conditions or does not have a reasonable prospect of showing that it's capable of complying with the relevant legal and regulatory requirements, it will notify the trading platform that the deeming provision will not apply to it. The virtual asset trading platform must then close down its business by the 31st of May 2024 or within 3 months of the date of the SFC's notice, whichever is later. Similar provisions apply to individuals performing regulated functions for a virtual asset trading platform operating in Hong Kong before the 1st of June 2023. They can continue to perform regulated functions without a license and will be subject to a deeming arrangement from the 1st of June 2024. To be eligible for the deeming arrangement, individuals applying to be ROs of a pre-existing virtual asset trading platform must have been performing the regulated trading function for a virtual asset trading platform, whether operating in or outside Hong Kong, immediately before the 1st of June 2023, and at the time of application must be performing a regulated function in Hong Kong for the pre-existing virtual asset trading platform. So to be eligible for the deeming arrangement, licensed reps of a pre-existing virtual asset trading platform must be performing a relevant regulated function in Hong Kong also at the time of application. Once platforms and individuals are deemed to be licensed or approved as responsible officers, they must comply with all legal and regulatory requirements under the AMLO regime for licensed virtual asset trading platforms. The transitional arrangements under the AMLO licensing regime apply only to the trading of non-security tokens by virtual asset trading platforms. There are no transitional arrangements under the SFO. Virtual asset trading platforms intending to offer trading in security tokens need to be separately licensed under the SFO for Type 1 dealing in securities and Type 7 providing automated trading services regulated activities before they commence operations in Hong Kong. So that brings me to the end of the formal part of this webinar. Thank you so much again for joining me today, and I hope to see you again soon. Bye.